This month, the Supreme Court is expected to weigh in for a second time on Obamacare. In 2012, the High Court considered whether the law's mandate that everyone must purchase coverage was constitutional. They decided it was. This month, the justices will rule in King v. Burwell, and at issue now, whether the federal government can help people in 34 states buy that coverage through so-called exchanges, because buried in the law are the words exchanges run by the states. President Obama says that's a misreading of the law, and in a speech today, he pushed back against Republican critics.
There's something, I have to say, just deeply cynical about the ceaseless, endless partisan attempts to roll back progress. I mean, I understood folks being skeptical or worried before the law passed, and there wasn't a reality there to examine. But once you see millions of people having health care, once you see that all the bad things that were predicted didn't happen, you'd think that it'd be time to move on.
And yesterday, when the president said the offending words about states in the law could be fixed, Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso pledged there won't be a one-sentence congressional fix. He also accused the president of bullying the Supreme Court, expressing the sentiments of many critics. Sam Baker is staff correspondent for National Journal. He covers health care in the Supreme Court. Sam, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And flesh out the main arguments before the court.
Sure. So this comes down to just a couple of words in one section of the statute, which refers to these subsidies flowing through an exchange, quote, established by the state. Now, these subsidies are a really critical part of the law. They were designed to make coverage affordable. And that's also, you know, one of the main tools to try to get healthy people into the system to sort of make everything stable.
So that it's not just sick people who are being covered by the law and therefore will, you know, break the bank.
Exactly. People refer to it as a three-legged stool. The three legs are the subsidies, the individual mandate, which we all know about, and the requirement that insurance companies cover people with pre-existing conditions. So all three of those are supposed to work in tandem, but this case could wipe out one leg of that three-legged stool in most of the states.
And tell us more about what the challengers who want that leg gone, what are they saying?
They point to this language that does refer to the subsidies flowing through an exchange, quote, established by the state. And they say, that's it. These subsidies should not be available in the states that elected not to set up their own exchanges. And the challengers say the states that left it up to the federal government, which, again, is 34 states, their residents shouldn't be receiving these subsidies because of those couple of words in the statute.
That the IRS literally broke the law when it established the subsidies. And what are the defenders saying?
The Justice Department, which represents the Obama administration, says, look, you've got to look at the whole law. This isn't just a question of what Congress intended versus what it wrote, because the administration might lose on that point. But they say if you read the whole thing, look, there's only one kind of exchange. There's only one definition of exchange. There are all these other provisions that make it sound like a state-run exchange versus a federally run exchange are really interchangeable. And so they say if you take the broad, holistic view of the whole statute, these are not two separate things. And that reading that the challengers are putting forward just doesn't make any sense.
Right. And you point to a phrase that the justices like to use that may, you know, back up that thinking.
That's right. When they get one of these cases in front of them where they're trying to determine what Congress meant, they assume that Congress does not hide elephants in mouse holes. And you heard the Solicitor General saying during oral arguments in this case, that's exactly what this would be. You know, this isn't – it's not even a line in the statute that says these subsidies are available in an exchange established by the state. It's buried in a calculation, in a formula for how you figure out the amount of those subsidies. So the Justice Department's position, and you saw some of the Supreme Court justices picking up on this, is if Congress was going to make this big of a threat, don't you think they'd do it a little bit louder?
In other words, that they would have put it right at the top, you know, in big bold letters, you cannot establish these exchanges through the federal government. It has to be through the state. It wouldn't be buried.
Right. And several states have filed briefs saying, yeah, we did not make our decision about setting up a state-run exchange knowing that this was maybe the consequence.
Well, and we should remind people there are exchanges run by the federal government in several states because those state leaders, the lawmakers there, refused to establish their own.
That's right. The states that sort of punted this to the federal government are mostly conservative states, Republican-led states, there are also some that tried and just sort of couldn't get it together in time, or made, you know, more of a deliberate decision. And there are most of the states that didn't do it just flatly refused for political reasons.
Okay. So you mentioned this phrase that justices like to use, but not all justices will be using it in this case. The court seemed clearly divided when it heard the case on March 4th. What would it mean if the subsidies are overturned?
The bottom line is chaos. You'd have about 6.4 million people lose their subsidies. The assumption is hardly any of those people could afford their coverage, so they would probably lose their coverage. That's in 34 states. And it's not really clear at this point who would sort of be in charge of trying to fix this, whether congressional Republicans would take up that mantle or whether they would leave it to the states, whether the states would be willing to act. So you'd have a lot of people losing coverage, really severe disruptions throughout these states' insurance markets, and premiums skyrocketing for a lot of people who even didn't get their coverage through Obamacare.
Well, let's take it further. So let's say subsidies are overturned. People are running around trying to figure out how to fix things. Can the president use executive action?
A little bit. What the Obama administration can probably do is make it really easy for a state to set up its own exchange. They can probably lease healthcare.gov's infrastructure to the state, but the state still has to ask for it. And it's hard to see a state like Texas, for example, which has made huge coverage gains under the Affordable Care Act, volunteering to do any of those things, in which case the chaos there would just go on.
Well, but let's keep going. Do people start dropping their coverage?
Yes. People definitely start dropping their coverage. That pretty much everyone agrees on. Probably almost everyone who got their coverage, again, in these states through the Affordable Care Act. And this is where we run into a very real risk of what's called the insurance death spiral. That's where you only have the sickest people left who are the most expensive to cover, so premiums go up. Then even the healthiest people of the sick people who were still there drop out. So you just have this cycle of only the sickest people remain, premiums go up, then really the only the sickest of the sickest, then premiums go up. And at some point, insurance companies probably just decide, I don't want to sell insurance in this state, and there are no policies available.
Okay. Well, and all of Obamacare across the country, we're told, can't work unless everybody's on board. That's how it's paid for.
That's right. The vast majority of people who are covered under the exchanges are receiving these subsidies. So it'd be a really, really significant coverage erosion with extremely far-reaching implications.
Can't Congress just scramble and write a new bill?
They certainly could. But whether this Congress will actually do so is really the question. President Obama said, there's an easy fix. Just take out those couple of words. That's true that it would solve the problem. Congressional Republicans would never go for that. They could restore the subsidies, maybe temporarily, in exchange for some pretty steep concessions elsewhere in the law. But the big question is whether Republicans themselves could even get together on an agreement that would restore this big and expensive piece of Obamacare.
And they are then rolling the dice on, and maybe it will be in their favor, on how people will feel by the presidential election if Obamacare falls apart.
That's right. They're really betting that the damage here, that everyone will just blame Obama, and that the sort of lack of a solution to this particular problem, to this ruling, will all just roll downhill to him. And I don't think that that is really 100% safe assumption. There's going to be a lot of lobbying pressure here in Washington on Republicans. You'll certainly see some Republican governors in maybe purplish states take some action on their own to help out their residents. So I don't think that unified front can really last all the way through the election. And that I think will you know, put more of an emphasis on this idea that Republicans could fix this if they wanted to.
Yeah. Sam Baker, staff correspondent for National Journal, covering health care and the Supreme Court as we all wait for those two final decisions. Sam, thank you.
Thank you.